The Haftorah for Seder Bahaloscha is from the Navi Zechariah, Perek Beis, which is also the Haftorah for Chanukah, Shabbos Chanukah. Obviously, the end of the Haftorah speaks about the menorah, and Shabbos Chanukah obviously is relevant to the menorah. And Bahaloscha, the first paragraph of Seder Bahaloscha is the parish of the menorah, Bahaloscha Saneros. So that is the simple, obvious, external connection between the Haftorah and the Sedra, the menorah. The menorah occupies a few sentences in the end of the Haftorah. It occupies a few sentences in the beginning of the Sedra. That's the connection. There must be more, because the Sedra deals predominantly not with the menorah. It's a very small, seemingly insignificant part of the Sedra, and there must be more to relate this to the Sedra. I understand that Chanukah, the menorah, is the Iker. So a Haftorah that deals even partially with the menorah makes sense. But for Parshas Bahaloscha, right, there are other parshios in the Torah that speak about the menorah more intrinsically. The building of the menorah in Parshas Truma, the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in Parshas Kisisa, right, and later on again in Parshas Emor. So why here, where it seems to be very incidental, did the rabbis pick out that this is the major idea of the Sedra to relate a Haftorah that deals with the menorah with it? So there obviously must be more. So let me tell you what I have discovered, and again, you get the rough draft, and if you don't catch cold from the rough draft, I will give it on Shabbos, maybe a little bit more polished. Okay, first of all, I think we have to understand why altogether the menorah is mentioned over here. Why we already had the building of the menorah, the command to light the menorah, and again, the mitzvah of getting olive oil for the menorah. Why again? So there's a medrash that says that Aaron HaKohen was upset that all of the tribes were represented in dedicating the altar in the Mishkan, except for his tribe, the Levim. So God told him, don't worry, but you have a superior to what they have. They dedicated the sacrifices. Sacrifices only exist when the temple exists. But what you have, the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, that exists even though there is no temple. And the Ramban explains, where does the lighting of the menorah exist when there is no temple? In Chanukah. So Chanukah is an extension of the lighting of the menorah that applies at all times, and Aaron HaKohen had the distinction of lighting the menorah, and that made up for his not having a portion in dedicating the Mishkan. I was thinking of another idea. Why over here specifically the whole idea of the menorah and lighting the menorah is significant? At the end of last week's Sedra was the dedication of the Mikdash, Mishkan, through the sacrifices that were brought during the days of Chanukah Samizbeach, and ultimately the operation then, after the dedication of the Mishkan and the dedication of the altar, the regular usage and operation of the Mishkan from then on. This began Klal Yisrael on its mission of being God's people with God's presence amongst them, and they should be a Mamleches Kohanim, a nation of Kohanim, of servants of God. We are the Kohanim of the world, just like the Kohanim serve God directly and represent the Jewish people and represent God to the Jewish people. We are the Kohanim of the world. We serve God more directly than the rest of the nations of the world, and we represent God to the nations of the world. We are the Kohanim, Mamleches Kohanim, and we do that by living a holy life, by living a life that represents God's presence amongst us, which is what the Mishkan represents, the total sanctification of all aspects of life, God's presence dwelling amongst us. And we started on our mission, and all up until now was preparation to be able to dedicate the Mishkan, to complete what the purpose of the giving of the Torah was, that God's presence should devolve amongst the Jewish people. There was a little bit of a detour because of the sin of the golden calf. And therefore, it took up until the Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year to actually dedicate the Mishkan, then 12 more days. And then the command came to move on. Okay, you're ready, go on to Eretz Yisrael. Had we not had another detour because of what's in 2 weeks, Sedra, the sin of the spies, we would have gone on straight to Eretz Yisrael, built the Beis HaMikdash, and got started to be the lighthouse and the beacon, the Or La'amin, the light to the nations of the world. Now, the Kohen Gadol, okay, represents the one who elevates us and prods us on to be a nation of priests. We have our leader, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, and the regular priests who inspire us to be the priest to the world. Now, what is symbolic of our mission, the menorah? In two ways. One is the seven branches of the menorah represent all kinds of Jews. The Sfarno says, the three branches to the right represent Jews who are totally devoted to Torah alone. Rabbonim, Talmidei Chachamim, Dayanim, right? The people who are involved in Torasim Umnasim. The Torah is their avocation. The three to the left represent the part of the Jewish people that combine a earthly avocation with Torah. And we once explained how there are three kinds of people who dedicate themselves totally to Torah, three kinds of careers that a person could have, where a person mixes Torah with a worldly occupation, and the middle branch represents the light of God that emanates from all of them when they all do their job for the sake of heaven, when they all face towards the middle. That's what the Sfarno says. In Vayikra Rabba, it says that the seven branches of the menorah represent the seven kinds of tzaddikim. There are different kinds of tzaddikim in the Jewish people, each one emphasizing a different kind or part of the Torah. And those seven kinds of tzaddikim will in the future receive God's presence. So the seven branches represent seven different kinds of tzaddikim amongst the Jewish people. Also, the idea of the Jewish people fulfilling their role. And in Bamidbar Rabba, the Medrash says that Yirmiyahu called the Jewish people kesef nimas, disgusting silver, tarnished silver, right? Because we sinned in the time of Yirmiyahu. Yechezkel called us sigim. We are gold or silver that is adulterated, tainted, not pure. Therefore, Zechariah came along and said, that's only externally. But intrinsically, the Jewish people are like the menorah. They are Zohar Tar, they're pure gold. We may be tarnished, we may look like we're adulterated, but that's only external. Intrinsically, the Jewish people are solid gold, and that's what it says in Shir HaShirim, Kulach Yofar Ayasi, you are totally beautiful. And therefore, the menorah represents the Jewish people. It represents us, all the different factions of the Jewish people uniting to bring out the light of God to the world. In that respect, menorah also represents our fulfillment of our mission to be a light to the nations of the world, to represent to them that God exists and dwells here amongst us. It says that God didn't need our light. God doesn't need us to light up his Mishkan or Mikdash. He could provide the light. So why does he ask us to light a menorah? The menorah was the proof that God's presence dwelt amongst the Jewish people. because there was a miracle that occurred, at least in the Midbar, and at sometimes in the Beis Hamikdash also, during the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik. The Ner HaMaravi, the Western candle, according to some, it's a middle candle, never went out. The miracle of Hanukkah lasted 40 years in the desert. That candle never went out. The oil never extinguished. And it happened again in the time of Shimon HaTzadik. And that was a proof that God's presence, the light of the menorah, represents God's presence, and it was constant. It was always amongst the Jewish people. So therefore, the menorah represents the Jewish people. It represents our mission of being a light to the nations of the world, and it represents the fact that God's presence dwells amongst us. It's interesting, therefore, that in discussing the menorah in the Haftorah, the Navi says that the menorah is described as having gula arosha, certain kind of ornament on its top, and the Medrash says the following. The gula arosha, tre amorayim, two amorayim, two of the sages of the Gemara argue. Chad amar gula, shigalu bevavel, the gosha shchinamayim. One says you should read it gula, gola. Exile. It's a hint to the exile in Babylonia, and that God's presence went with us there. Techadamar Geula. Should read it redemption. Geula he proka. Geula means to be redeemed. Dekosav Goaleinu Hashem Tzvakos. Dechsiv Goaleinu Hashem Tzvakos. God is our Redeemer. Omra Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hoel Vekach. Vekach Kulach Yofar Yossi Umumein Bach. That's the idea. The idea is that since the menorah represents the Jewish people and our mission and our bringing the light of Torah, the light of God to the world, and that God dwells amongst us, that mission is something that we can't give up. And therefore, sometimes we fulfill that mission from Eretz Yisrael in a positive way, and sometimes, because we're not fulfilling our mission, God finds it necessary to send us into exile, and he goes with us. He doesn't abandon us. It's not because he hates us, not because he's disgusted with us. It's because we need a little bit of mussar, or a lot of mussar. We need a lot of correction to be able to get back on the path, to be able to come back to Eretz Israel and fulfill our mission. So sometimes our mission is fulfilled in a very positive, direct way, and sometimes we have to take a few steps back and take a detour and go through the exile to enable us eventually to come back and fulfill that mission. Therefore, the menorah represents both Geula and Golus. And God's presence is with us all the time, no matter what, because it's all for the same purpose. Now, the purpose, like we said, is not just that we should serve God, and that we should recognize him, but that we should be a light to the nations of the world, and they should serve him. Now, if that's the case, you can understand that the Haftorah starts out with the following. Rani v'simchi bas Tzion, sing and be rejoice, the daughter of Tzion. Ki hinini bo v'shochanti b'socheichnu Hashem. I am going to come in the future and dwell amongst you forever. The redemption will come, and God's presence will once again devolve openly, right, amongst the Jewish people. Next pasuk, the nilvu goyim rabim el Hashem bayomahu. Many nations will accompany the Jewish people and be drawn to join the Jewish people on that day. The hayu li la'am, and they will be to me as a nation. The shachanti b'socheich, and I will dwell amongst you. The adat ki Hashem tzvakos shalachani alayich. And you will know that God sent me to you. Now, the Mefarshim asks, why does he have to say second time that God will dwell amongst us in the first sentence? The obvious answer is there are two ideas here. One is the Jewish people will fulfill their mission internally and be God's people with God amongst them, but it doesn't end there. It's also for the sake of the whole world. And therefore, Goyim will recognize that. They will see that God dwells amongst us. They will see that we're God's people. They will be drawn to attach themselves to us. And then God will dwell amongst us for his second purpose as a lesson for the entire world. So the first one is to dwell amongst us for our sake. The second one is to dwell amongst us for the sake of the entire world. And therefore, similar to what the idea of the menorah is, okay, in the Sedra, where the Sedra says, after the God's presence devolved into the Mishkan, and the Mishkan was dedicated, now get on with your purpose, which is represented by the menorah. Therefore, the menorah is repeated as the beginning of the Sedra, and then all of the portions of the Sedra represent this getting on with our mission. Shevet Levi. The Leviim are to the Jewish people what we are to the nations of the world. Shevet Levi. The Leviim guide us. They are the Levi. We guide the rest of the world and have them accompany us. We are their Levaya. We give them escort and they attach themselves to us. So the Nilvu, they will accompany us, attach themselves to us, and we will be their Leviim. And Kohanim is similar to the second part of the Sedra, which speaks about the dedication of Leviim. So we have a connection between the Haftorah and the Parsha, already in addition to the menorah, in the idea of a Nilvu, that there's an idea of Leviim. We are to be the guiders and the ones who escort the world, and they attach themselves to us. That's the Parsha of the Leviim. Then comes the next idea, Yisro. Well, not really. Before that is Pesach Sheni and the Masos, right? The fact that we are ready now to travel to Eretz Yisrael, the first breaking of camp from Har Sinai. You've got the foundation. Get on with it. So that's the same idea as the menorah. Get on with it. One day you will fulfill and reach your purpose. Get on with it. Travel towards it. So in the Sedra, we're talking about traveling towards our purpose. The Haftorah speaks about the ultimate purpose, what's going to be. It also mentions Yisrael, Goyim that came to join the Jewish people in a positive way. However, it also speaks about Goyim who originally joined the Jewish people when we left Egypt also for positive reasons, but ended up ruining things. And Ho'asatzu Fashir Bekir Boi Savutava, the Erev Rav, had a desire for meat and they influenced the entire Jewish people. So we have in the Torah Sedra the concept of Goyim attaching themselves to us, both Yisro and the Erev Rav, and the Haftorah similarly speaks about in the future where we will fulfill our mission that the nations of the world will attach themselves to us, just like we have mentioned in the Sedra of that idea. Then we have the idea of Pesach Sheni, Chatzotros, the idea of sometimes there are setbacks. You can't fulfill your mission. God gives you another chance. Second Korban Pesach. The Chatzotros are there to announce and wake us up so we can get on and travel and go towards our goal of coming to Eretz Yisrael, building the Beis HaMikdash, and being the light to the nations. So the Sedra deals with getting on towards our goal, and also the setbacks, the things that prevent us, and the Haftorah also deals with that. It deals with the menorah that represents the goal. It deals with the fact that Goyim will attach themselves to us, which is similar to the Sedra. It deals also with the two players, the two figures that lead us in our dual role. We are Mamleches Kohanim. We're a kingdom of priests. We're a priesthood and a kingdom. So who rules the kingdom? The king. Who rules the priesthood? The Kohen Gadol. So the Haftorah speaks about these two personalities. It speaks about Yehoshua Kohen Gadol and the difficulties, the tarnished clothing that he's wearing, which represents the fact that he and the Jewish people weren't on the right level yet. And the Satan, who stands at his right to hinder his ability to lead us and to lead us towards our goal, which the Sedra also speaks about, the setbacks the Jewish people had in the desert, the sins that they committed, the lust for meat, the complaining about having to travel to Eretz Yisrael, they were complaining, it's too fast, too much, too difficult. And then the, what's it called, the fact that they ran away from Har Sinai like children running away from school, instead of wanting to run to Eretz Yisrael and get on with their goal, they wanted to avoid and run away from their responsibilities. So these are all the hindrances that reroute us, that detour us from achieving our goal, which is represented by the fact that the Satan stood on the right hand of Yeshua Kohen Gadol, hindering the Kohen Gadol from leading us to be a Mamleches Kohanim. And the end of the Haftorah deals with the Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the king, or like the king, and also representative of Mashiach, the ultimate king, who also had the mountains before him. A lot of detours, a lot of deterrents, but they would be flattened, that would be able eventually to lead us to be a mamlocha, to be a kingdom of priests. So the Haftorah speaks about the personality to lead us in our kingdom, the king, and the personality would lead us to be Kohanim, priests, the Kohen Gadol. That Torah also speaks. It starts out with Aaron HaKohen lighting the menorah, and it ends with giving the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu to Ha'ish Moshe Anu. Moshe was the king, Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. Similar to the Haftorah, Zerubbabel was the king, Yeshua the Kohen Gadol. There is one last connection, so we see that it's not just the menorah, but throughout the Haftorah and the Sedra, the whole Sedra and the whole Haftorah have parallel themes. There's one more thing that I found, and that is a Medrash. The Medrash says that when the menorah is described, it says the following. Hinei menorah zov kula v'gula arosha v'shiva nerosel. They had seven places for flames. Shiva v'shiva mutzakos neros. Seven, right, by seven, okay? So the Medrash says that there are three times of seven is mentioned. Seven, and then seven and seven is 21. And it also can be seven times seven is 49. How much is 21 and 49? 70 is a hint to the 70 sages in the Sanhedrin. What does the Sedra end with, or close to the end? The choosing of the 70 elders to make up the Sanhedrin. So that also is hinted to in the Haftorah. All the leaders that the Jewish people need to fulfill our purpose, the king, the Sanhedrin, and the Kohen Gadol, are all mentioned in the Sedra, and they're all mentioned or hinted to in the Haftorah. Okay, so it comes out that Ba'aloscha was the first journey. That's the major idea in Balosa, the first journey the Jewish people made after Har Sinai, hopefully to fulfill our role, but we messed it up. And instead of running to Eretz Yisrael, we ran away from Har Sinai, had a lot of problems with the Goyim that should have attached themselves, that we should have elevated, and they dragged us down. And all of the negatives of deterring us from reaching our goals are depicted in the Sedra, starting with the idea of the lighting of the menorah, which symbolizes what the goal should have been, what the mission should have been, and the Haftorah speaking about the ultimate success after all these deterrents are taken care of through the long galus, that eventually we will fulfill our purpose, eventually that menorah will be lit, and we will be a united nation with God's presence amongst us, a mamleches kohanim, and a goy kadosh that is a light to the whole world. So there's much more of a connection between the Sedra and the Haftorah than just the menorah itself.